You can go, Ara.
Standing in the beginning.
Here you go.
Okay, we are standing in the beginning of the 9 days, or for this year, actually, be 10 days in effect. The Tisha B'Av being pushed off until the 10th of Av. This week's Parsha's Matzah, Matzah, and Rosh Chodesh Av, are very much connected. The Parsha brings that Aaron HaKohen passed away on the first day of the fifth month, which is tonight, the first day, or Rosh Chodesh, of the fifth month, which is Chodesh Av. It's interesting that we find that in most instances of a Petira where someone in the Torah passed away, for example, by the passing of Moshe Rabbeinu or the passing of Miriam, that the Torah does not recount the date to let us know when the Eretz was. So why is that, that by Aaron HaKohen's passing, was the date given? Furthermore, the first Yachad of Shemayni in Sefer Bamidbar explains that the Torah at times provides a date for certain events, is because in instances of good times and Hashem's benevolence for Klal Yisrael, Hashem is mefarsim and makes known the events and makes known the time and the place, etc. However, tragic occurrences, explains the Medrash, are usually hidden to some extent in darkness, and the dates and the details are not given. And the Medrash gives Tisha B'Av as an example. For although the destruction actually took place on the 9th of Av, we see that Yechezkel HaNavi only saw his vision on the 10th of Av. As we try to keep dark events in the cover of dark, and we don't make a deal about them, then shouldn't the passing of Aaron HaKohen be viewed as a dark day for Klal Yisrael? Certainly the passing of one of the leaders of Klal Yisrael, that should have been considered a dark day. Why then would the Torah be giving the date of Aaron HaKohen's death? So the Shulchan Aruch answers that for this very reason, that Aaron HaKohen's passing was during the 9 days, is the very reason why the date is pronounced. As we find in the next pasuk, immediately after Aaron's passing, that the Kenani came to attack Klal Yisrael. The pasuk says, "By Yishma HaKenani." The Kenani heard. Rashi explains, what did the Kenani hear? They heard about Aaron HaKohen's death, and they heard about the resulting departure of the Anani HaKohen, which departed with Aaron's passing. Thus, the Kenani thought that with the absence of the section of the Anani HaKohen, that would be an opportune time to go ahead and attack Klal Yisrael. Not only that, but it was during the 9 days. It was a very inauspicious time for Klal Yisrael. Nevertheless, we see that Hashem helped Klal Yisrael, and they were successful in fending off the attack of the Kenani. That's a short suggestion that for this reason the date of Aaron's passing is given, to let us know that even during times of Hesed Panim, during inauspicious times, Hashem is always there. He's always there to protect us. But there's another obvious question here. If you read through the beginning of Parshas Matzah, you'll see that we're delineating the travels, the journey through the desert, which Kleistel went through with all the various stops. And you'll see that not very much information, if any, is given regarding the events at each of these stops. The Torah just gives the place of origin and the destination of where they went. They encamped and they traveled. Why then, when it comes to their stay at Har HaHar, the Torah goes and speaks at length regarding the event of Aaron's Petira? Why are we expounding on it? So Moshe Feinstein explains that we see here the importance of learning from the ways of the Gedolim, and particularly the ways of Aaron HaKohen, who was the Ohev Shalom and the Ra'eh Shalom, who loved peace and he pursued peace. For this reason, the Torah expounds on memorializing Aaron HaKohen so we can each internalize his midah of being Ohev Shalom. The Medrash in Eicha brings that there was a woman in Rabbi Gamliel's neighborhood who lost a child, Le'Aleinu, and would cry at night over her personal loss. When Rabbi Gamliel would hear her cries, she would be reminded of the Churban and would cry along with her until his eyelashes fell out. What about this broken woman's tears reminded Rabbi Gamliel about the Churban HaBayis? So Mordechai Gister, the teller of Yeshiva, answers that in essence, all tragic events can be traced back to the Churban and the fact that we are in exile. For although our comfortable lives make it very difficult for us to recognize The world is very, very far from the ideal world of Malchus Shakai. We'll tell us whether major tragedies or smaller things, not so small difficulties in Shalom Bayis, Shidduchim, childlessness, Gedaris, Parnassa, all these difficulties are because we're not really living the life. The life of a perfect world with a Beit HaMikdash, with Gilui Shechina. That's the connection between all tzaros, down to present-day tzaros, modern-day tzaros, and the Churban. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tainis that all fast days, including Shavuos, the Tammuz, and Tisha B'Av, are not to mourn over the Churban, but rather to inspire ourselves to Shuva and to mend our ways and set ourselves down the correct path. This means that this entire mourning period that we are in now is not merely to mourn over tragic historical events. Rather, it's a personal period of reflection for each and every person to reflect and say, what can I do better? I once heard a very powerful thought from Ephraim Waxman, Shlita. Two people, and they're discussing politics, and one tells another, you know, that recent policy change Trump made and put into effect is really absurd. I'm going to send a real nasty letter to the White House. Just wait until the president sees my letter. He's going to be blown away. He's going to be really upset. Is such a person kidding? That letter will not go within a mile of any president. It probably will never even get open. But imagine if the prime minister of Australia sends a nasty tweet. That's already something else. That already could create an international crisis. Each and every person has the ability and is given the opportunity on this world either to cause Kavod Shemayim or Chas V'Shalom to cause national crisis. By inspiring ourselves, improving ourselves, we each and every one of us has the ability to make international impact. We find that the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed largely due to Sinat Chinuch. Nida of Aaron HaKohen, being an Oyeshom, a Rezeshom, means to not only worry about our own peaceful lives, but to ensure that everyone around us, everyone is living in harmony. This means firstly thinking about the next guy and letting people know that you care about them, letting people onto your radar screen, and then caring enough and thinking about these people to actually do something about it. And by bringing peace to every corner, we, Baruch Hashem, are able to bring peace back to Yerushalayim. You find the Nefesh HaChaim famously writes in the beginning of his Sefer, Chaim Volozhiner, that a person was created on this world to do for other people. And he's not just writing this to promote chesed. He's writing that intrinsically each and every single person, we all are dependent on one another, whether a child and a parent, a sibling, a coworker. We live our lives, and everything we do for other people, we take for other people. That's the way the world was set up. And that recognition that we're interdependent and there are people that truly depend on us should inspire us to firstly think about other people. When you hear that a tragic event occurred, you stop for a second, that one little moment of silence to recognize that there's somebody out there who's having it hard. Just give it that 1 second of a feeling for that other person. We should all be zeichah to take inspiration from this period, and the Be'ez Hashem Tisha B'Av will soon be celebrated as the Yom Tov. Thank you. Have a good Shabbat.